This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. A deadly campus shooting today at Florida State University. Police say two people are dead, five others injured after a gunman opened fire near the student union at the Tallahassee campus. He's been identified as Phoenix Eichner, police say, an FSU student and the son of a sheriff's deputy. Leon County Sheriff Walter McNeil says they're investigating how the suspect gained access to weapons.
Unfortunately, her son had access to one of her weapons, and that was one of the weapons that was found at the scene.
Police say the suspect, also hospitalized, was injured after he engaged with officers. A federal grand jury in New York returning a four-count indictment against Luigi Mangione, the alleged killer of UnitedHealthcare CEO. It includes a charge that makes him eligible for the death penalty. Jobless claims dipped last week, 9,000 fewer Americans filing for first-time unemployment benefits than the previous week. This is ABC News.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
For WRCE 107.7, I'm Joanne Krulotz. Republican lawmakers want the state to pitch in some additional funding to cover the cost of public safety for next week's NFL draft in Green Bay. Howard Representative David Steffen is asking for $1.25 million from the state. That money would be split among Brown County, the city of Green Bay, and the village of Ashwaubenon. Steffen says the money would cover two-thirds of the expected cost to keep people safe during the event. The draft takes place April 24th through 26th. A GoFundMe account has been set up for the children of two Taylor County homicide victims. Becky and Joshua Mann were killed in their home near Gilman last Wednesday, leaving behind four children aged 16 to 25 who now face a future without their guiding presence, according to family members who set up the fundraiser. Their initial goal was $30,000, but as of Monday evening, they had more than $63,000 already in the bank. Investigators say they were killed by a 15-year-old boy who fled from the scene and turned the gun on himself sometime later. No motive for the shootings has been given. The Steel Bridge team at the University of Wisconsin-Platteville earned the title of first place overall at the 2025 Western Great Lakes Student Steel Bridge Regional Competition held this month in Milwaukee, a first for UW-Platteville. UW-Platteville's performance included first place in structural efficiency, first place in stiffness, second place in construction economy, third place in construction speed, and third place in cost estimates. As a result of their achievements, they now advance to the Student Steel Bridge Competition National Finals, set to take place at the end of next month at Iowa State University, with around 40 to 45 schools participating. For WRCE News, I'm Joanne Krulotz.
The Brewers beat the Tigers. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Baseball, the Brewers with a 5-1 win over the Tigers. Milwaukee winning the series. Pat Murphy pleased with the performance from starting pitcher Jose Quintana.
He's so under control. Guys want to play behind him. You know, he didn't have his best stuff today. He didn't have his best command today. Walk three in the first inning. Very efficient after that.
Basketball, the Bucks head to Indianapolis tomorrow, where they'll face the Pacers in game one of their playoff series Saturday at noon. Women's volleyball, the Badgers with a 3-0 win over Marquette in straight sets. Head coach Kelly Sheffield says it was a good turnout at the Fieldhouse for the spring game.
Oh, we had a great crowd tonight. The number of people that were here, I remember our first year here where there'd be some matches that there'd be half as many as what there were tonight. That's what we're hoping to do is continue to get to the point where even our spring matches are filling the entire building, you know, and then having the match covered on BTN.
That's Badgers volleyball coach Kelly Sheffield with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Scattered storms this evening, some could be strong, still a shower or two overnight, and a low in the low 50s. Scattered storms still a possibility tomorrow, high around 70. Mostly dry and pleasant for the weekend, with highs in the 50s.
Right now it's 61.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
And from Chippewa Falls.
What are Republicans voting for if they're not voting for Medicare, Medicaid, clean energy, clean water?
Tax cuts for billionaires. You wouldn't get a lot of votes for that. So you have to create an enemy. And somebody says, blame all these people like women and immigrants and black and brown folks. Your brain will sometimes want to accept that because it's the easiest of off-ramps to all of the anxiety and existential fear that you've got.
The Maggie Dawn Show, moving soon to its new time, weekdays 4 until 6 on Civic Media and on the app.
Every year, millions of pets go missing, leaving families heartbroken. If you lose or find a pet, Love Lost is here to help. Our free, easy-to-use platform uses photo matching technology across multiple media platforms to bring lost pets home. Just upload a photo and quickly search the largest national lost and found pet database. Let's unite to reunite, because every lost pet deserves to find their way home. Register today at lovelost.com.
Earl Ingram.
Tomorrow on the Earl Ingram Show, I'm thrilled to have my friend and co-host Sandy Williams back with me. Sandy and I will engage in a deep conversation about the most significant issues of the week.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings at 9. This is News from the Center, WRCE. Broadcasting live from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who still likes to build a fort, Pete Schwabba.
Welcome to Nightlight, ladies and gentlemen. I do love to build. Who doesn't like to build a fort? Do we have that? Do we still have that Simpsons clip of Homer building the fort? That was from so long ago.
I don't think we do.
It's like the bell guy brings him up to his room and he says, "And there's your bed for get busy, get to it." And Homer says, "Stop it. The only thing I'm using that bed for is sleeping, eating, and maybe building a little fort." Building a fort never gets old. Great to have you with me, folks. This is Fort Talk. That's what we're focusing on here tonight. We'll be talking about forts of all kind. Fort Michilimackinac, the kind of fort you build in your bedroom. Tree forts, all kinds of stuff. So feel free to chime in. Great to have you with me on this Thursday night. Ladies and gentlemen, it is a popcorn pick of the week Thursday night. And who better to give the popcorn pick of the week than Civic Media Sports Authority and our friend, Mike Clemens. You know what? There are probably a lot more people that are just as qualified as Mike, but I still like to build up my guests, and I have no doubt Mike will not disappoint. He sounds like he's got a good one. And he wouldn't tell me. He just told me the genre. I'm not even going to share that. So it's going to be fun to have Mike here tonight giving us his popcorn pick of the week, and we'll talk some sports with Mike, all kinds of stuff happening on Nightlight tonight. And then Amanda Nimmer, social media guru and program. What is her official title? She kind of does everything.
She's a jack of all trades.
She is. She's an Amanda of all trades. But it is on the Facebook post. I'm going to look it up because I think of her as like a social media expert, but I think she's actually like a production coordinator, and she has all kinds of, she just wears a lot of hats. She can kind of do it all, you know? And I've been much better about getting her my information for the social media post every day.
Well, she's a Civic Media's production director.
That's what it says, yeah. Production director and social media whiz.
Yeah.
That's what I called her. Maybe she doesn't even think of herself as a whiz, but I do. So the very talented Amanda Nimmer will be here at 7:20. We are going to give Amanda one of our Nightlight quizzes, folks. I stayed up very late last night researching all these fun facts about her hometown. It's actually not her hometown, but it's where she's lived for like the last 6 or 7 years. It's where she's chosen to raise a family. So we are going to test Amanda's knowledge tonight to find out how much she knows about Manitowoc. She's probably like Googling Manitowoc right now, trying to suck in all these facts about the city she lives in, but I think she'll do just fine. And she's a Kevin Smith fan, so we're going to talk about the re-release of Dogma, a Kevin Smith film. Have you seen Dogma?
That sounds like...
It's not about dogs.
That doesn't sound like it should be a title.
Dogma? Yeah, it is. But it was a pretty successful film for Kevin Smith, so... We'll talk about that with Amanda. And my favorite Kevin Smith film is Clerks. That was his first one that kind of put him on the map. As I understand it, it cost about $30,000 to make. He was like in Meet the Parents territory The original Meet the Parents cost about that much. And they have a similar look, kind of gritty, kind of guerrilla style. But Clerks was hilarious. And I've seen a few other Kevin Smith movies, but Amanda sounds like a big fan. So we will defer to her about Kevin Smith and the re-release of Dogma with program director and social media whiz, Amanda Nimmer. And Mike Clemens at 6:35, making the popcorn pick of the week. So you cannot go wrong. You know, last night, it was fun because Mike Starr was here, and he was a great guest. And the guy, he's got so many stories. Last night when I got home, we were swapping texts, and he's like, the next time I come on, I'll tell you all these great stories about behind-the-scenes stuff on movie sets, like the Farrelly Brothers and all this kind of stuff. And I'm like, I cannot wait to have Mike back on the show to do that. And I think what we'll do is we'll do like an hour and just let him go.
Yeah.
And let him talk, and then we'll cut it up because he's such a great conversationalist and he's got so many interesting stories. And I forgot he was in The Bodyguard with Whitney Houston and Kevin Costner. And he kind of played the heavy, like he was Whitney Houston's bodyguard and a real big tough guy. Like he plays so well. And then Kevin Costner and him kind of got into it. I kind of forgot about that, but he has some really cool scenes with Costner in that film. So great fun, more great fun tonight. And this is High Five Day, Conrad. Did you know that?
I did. I put that on there.
National High Five Day.
Did you high five anyone today yet?
You know what? I have not.
I haven't either.
I haven't fist bumped. I haven't high fived. I haven't bowed. Which I'll be honest, I wish the bow like this or like this was more of a greeting, because then we don't have to touch each other. But like, High Five was a cologne. It was like a body spray in the late 80s or early 90s, like when the High Five first became a thing. It's weird to see a custom like that develop in my lifetime, because when I was a kid, there was no High Five. And then all of a sudden I got to like, I think early high school, and the High Five was the thing. A regular five just didn't cut it. You could give someone five, but that was like, eh, we're over that. We need something different. Let's jump in the air and smack hands about 8 feet above the ground. That's the way we're going to do it.
You know, axe was the big thing.
Yeah.
When I was growing up, was it kind of like that? Did it smell like that? Overpotent, you know, kind
dude, of. I never wore it. I mean, I never bought a bottle of High
Well,
Five.
I mean, see, the thing is with axe is the, you know, when I was growing up in middle school, if someone had axe in the locker room, you're all smelling like axe when you get out of it.
Right, right.
It doesn't matter what cologne you have, you know? So I hope it wasn't that potent.
Here's what it says on the internet. Yes, there is a High Five perfume cologne set. It's called Vireo. It contains a 5x7.5 milliliter eau de parfum designed to transport you emotionally.
Huh.
So if you have a bad breakup, just put on some High Five and you'll be all set. There's probably, I wouldn't be surprised if High Five like transitioned into Axe, because Axe sounds like, I don't know, more macho. I don't know. But it is National High Five Day, folks. Give somebody a high five and rejoice. I prefer, of all of those, I think I like the fist bump.
The fist bump, yeah.
It's just like, yeah, because you give a high five or you shake someone's hand, then you go to like scratch your eye or something, you get germs there. But if you bump it, you're not getting fingertips. I think it's a little more sanitary. Speaking of sanitary, do you moisturize, Conrad?
Yeah, I mean, not.
Like your face. You put, after you shower, do you put like a moisturizer on?
Not every time. Sometimes I do if I'm really feeling it.
You know? So you have to do that if you want to kind of stop the aging process a little bit. And Johnny Beaner was on the show, and he does this great bit about holistic medicine. And I brought it up again with him when he was on the show in Madison about how his wife buys these products like holistic soap that has sticks in it and rocks. Like my wife buys this moisturizer that gets, if it stays in the bottle too long, it like curdles or something into little balls.
Yeah.
And you got to spread it on your face. And sometimes you forget. And then you have this little like kind of white ball around your nose that you forgot about. It looks like you just like made a mess when you were blowing your nose. You look like a slob. And you can't really tell, oh, no, that's moisturized. Like, listen, it is hard enough to meet girls when you're married, much less when you have a mess on your face. You can laugh at that, Conrad. It's just a joke. I'm not out cruising for chicks after every show.
I think it's time we get to the question of the night.
Why do you think that? I'm ranting.
You know,
people come to this show for advice, and that is the service I provide. You want to go to the question of the night? Go to the question of the night.
Well, all right. I can put it on so we can get past this lotion talk.
No, that was the perfect outro. I was kind of yelling like I was mad, even though I was kidding. Go to the question.
I was still laughing. Sorry.
All right.
Let's talk about the question.
Okay, question.
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 Pregunta.
Question.
Question.
Hey, I have a question.
Questions.
This question.
Domanda.
Question.
Question.
Questions.
Who is your favorite musical solo artist? Who's your favorite singer? This one, good luck narrowing this one down, folks. There are so many phenomenal singers. And you can do crooner. You can do folk, rock, rap, whatever. Who is your favorite musical solo artist? 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Let us know on the text line or contact us over the app. That's very easy to use, too. We love reading your texts. However you present them to us, or if you're watching on the stream, you can get a hold of us on YouTube, Facebook, or X. So let us know what you think. Who is your favorite musical solo artist? I'm going to let you go first tonight, dude.
I mean, So my favorite is a more hip-hop rap artist.
Okay.
His name's Don Toliver.
What's his name?
Don Toliver.
Don Toliver. I've heard of him, yeah.
Really? You have?
I have, yeah.
I'm surprised by that.
Well, is he like your neighbor or something? He has a demo to maybe
no,
I haven't.
No, man, no. I no yeah, he's just, I think he has a great sound to his voice, so I like listening to his music, yeah.
I love that we got a few texts on social media. Vince Moranto says John Prine, and you know what? He's one of mine, too. I have a three-way tie. I couldn't decide. And mine are all in the same genre, like kind of folk rock. Our buddy Matt Harper, rock rap artist from Northeast Wisconsin. Love Matt. He says Ice Cube. That is not a surprise that Matt says Ice Cube. Ice Cube is up there too. Although Ice Cube, does he still put out new music? He's mostly just an actor now, right?
I like his son. He does some good work. Ice Cube Jr.
O'Shea Jackson, right?
Ice Cube Jr., whatever you want to call him.
Yeah, you call him.
He looks identical to his dad.
He does. Mike Desitel says, while she performed with her brother, Karen Carpenter is hands down the most flawless singer I've ever heard. Always pitch perfect and a very decent drummer. She is a great drummer. And, you know, it's hard to argue with that. She did have an absolutely stunning voice. So I don't know if I would call her a solo, though, Mike. But we will for the sake of argument. I agree with Vince. John Prine. I also, and I'm going folk here. Jim Croce sucks as a singer, let's be honest. Jim Croce, John Prine, and Gordon Lightfoot are my three favorite musical solo artists. Conrad likes Billy Bob Toliver. What's his name again?
Don Toliver.
Don Toliver, his neighbor who has a demo tape.
Yes.
Ladies and gentlemen, share your text with us. We'd love to know what you're thinking. Mike Clemens is here at 6:35 making the popcorn pick of the week. Civic Media it girl and all-around rock star Amanda Nimmer joins us at 7:20 to take a Manitowoc quiz. So there's all kinds of fun tonight on Nightlight. And I forgot to say what inspired tonight's question, so I'll do that after the break. This is Pete Schwab at Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. While corrosive democracy news from Washington continued this week, state news ranged from good in Delaware and Mississippi, mixed in North Carolina and Pennsylvania, to downright ugly in New Hampshire. Voting Rights Lab reports the Delaware Senate advanced SB 2 and SB 3, constitutional amendments allowing 10 days of early voting and no excuse absentee voting. Legislative versions of both bills passed last year, but the Delaware Supreme Court found that the state constitution didn't enable them. The General Assembly must pass them again next year for them to be adopted. The Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals ordered Mississippi to redraw state Senate districts for DeSoto County, which it found violated the 1965 Voting Rights Act by diluting a majority black section of the county, according to Mississippi Today. State officials in North Carolina found fewer issues among the 5,000 military and overseas voters than the Supreme Court candidate Jefferson Griffin claimed, but the highly questionable post-election review of voter eligibility continues. Pennsylvania Attorney General Dave Sunday appealed a federal court ruling directing county officials to count otherwise eligible mail-in ballots without a date. The New Hampshire Senate advanced SB 213, which would require voters applying by mail for an absentee ballot to enclose a copy of their birth certificate, U.S. passport, or naturalization papers, almost certainly disenfranchising otherwise eligible voters. We have more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org.
The Todd Albaugh Show.
More than 600 international students and recent grads have had their visas revoked. Here's people that are here 100% legally. We've seen the ICE checklist. Do you wear a Chicago Bulls hoodie? Do you have a tattoo? Check, check, gone. Again, this is about due process and following the Constitution. And if we don't have that, then none of us are safe.
The Todd Albaugh Show, moving soon to its new time. Weekdays 2 to 4 on Civic Media and on the app. News from the Center, WRCE.
Welcome back. It is the Christmas Eve of weeknights, Thursday night. Great to have you with me. I am Pete Schwabe, your host of Nightlight. Mike Clemens will be here in a few minutes to give us the popcorn pick of the week. Right now, we are asking the question, and this question came to me because I saw the movie Warfare over the weekend, and it's got such a funky start to the movie. It's all these Navy SEALs. I'm assuming they're just about to be deployed, and they're watching an exercise video with this attractive woman kind of moving her hips, and they're all going crazy, and they're singing the song Valerie by Steve Winwood. And that song is so searched for now on the internet. It's a great song. And Steve Winwood used to be in Traffic, then he broke off and went solo. And I thought, all right, this song kind of has new life. I think it's from like the late 80s, early 90s, but a good tune and a really cool start to the movie. And then they're just in battle. But so it gave me the idea, who is your favorite musical solo artist? That's tonight's question. So get in on the fun and let us know. Inspired by the film Warfare. Oh, we have a call, Conrad.
Yes, we do. It's Brian from Milwaukee.
Brian from Milwaukee. Hey, buddy, how are you?
Hey, good. Yeah, this is probably going to be a weird answer, but he is a solo artist.
Love it.
From the 80s, and he's still been performing. Yanni would be my answer. He's
a pianist,
new age artist. Fell in love with him when I saw him on PBS at the Acropolis. He's been the first artist to actually have a concert at the Taj Mahal, the only artist and performer allowed to ever perform at the Forbidden City in China, which is actually offhand to the public. And I think his latest PBS special, he actually did a filming of his latest recorded music because he still composes at the pyramids in Egypt.
Really?
So, and he comes to Milwaukee about every 5 years.
Okay.
And his tickets are worth the price. I went to see him live in 2011 and paid about $120 for a ticket.
It's not too bad.
And it was worth it.
So. He does only instrumental stuff, right?
He does only instrumental,
okay.
But he
That's
will have, even though he's a pianist using synthesizers and that, he does have vocalists that will sing with some of his music. And there was actually an album he took using professional singers, up-and-coming artists, young artists, and he called it Yanni Voices. And he had, like, a Latin singer, a Brazilian opera singer, you know, who was a tenor. And he said, okay, here's my instrumental music that I've been doing since the 80s. You guys come up with the lyrics for it.
and he toured
worldwide with this album.
That's fantastic.
He just keeps pushing the boundaries with his music.
I love it. And I'm
seen all over the world.
That's a great name from the past. I did not know he was still doing that. And here he is all over the place still.
I think last time he was in town, he was at the Riverside. I saw him at the Milwaukee Theater, which is now High Life. He's been at the Bradley Center when it was around.
Yeah.
So, yeah, he's still touring.
Fantastic. Brian, thanks so much for the call, buddy. Have a great night. That's a good one. I forgot about like those instrumental artists too. Like there's Yanni. Enya was a big one. Her music was very soothing, kind of John Tesh. John Tesh, people kind of made fun of because he was the host of Entertainment Tonight and he played the piano and he kind of had this crazy hair and he would really get into it. But he's the one who wrote the NBA music, that, you know, that music, dun, 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 dun. And it's phenomenal music. And our buddy Mike Schmidt, who's been on this show, he got into an elevator once with John Tesh in LA. And he just tries to start up a conversation with him. And Mike's a huge guy. Mike's like 6'4", about 3 bills, you know. And he looks over at John Tesh and he goes, so how's the Christmas album selling? And Tesh goes, what? And he just starts pushing buttons to have the elevator open so he can get out and get away from Mike. But to hear Mike tell the story, Mike is coming on in the next 2 weeks. So remind me to have him tell that story. It's so funny. He has another one, too, with Brandon Fraser, where he freaked out Brandon Fraser. And he just ran away. So great stuff. Thank you for the call, Brian. We've got, here's Anna from Madison. She says, hi, Pete and Conrad. My favorite solo singer is Linda Ronstadt. I knew somebody was going to pick Linda Ronstadt. She is phenomenal. That's a great one, Anna. Tyler from Wisconsin Rapids. Ricky Lee Jones. Coolsville. I wonder if she has a naughty sister. Does Tyler always have some kind of perverse thing in his text? It comes back to me. Like, he doesn't text every night, but like every once in a while he'll say something. I'm like, I think he said something kind of naughty last time too.
Hey, it's Nightlight.
Push the envelope, Tyler. That's fine. I might not always read it on the air, but your efforts are appreciated. Brian from Green Bay says, well, I missed the solo part. No, you're fine. That's good. Because Brian said, I missed his text. I thought he was the one that said, Brian said, Zach De La Roca. Going to the Google. The name sounds familiar. Is he saying that's like a band though now? Because no, that's a single solo artist. All right, all great stuff. But let us know, who's your favorite musical solo artist? I said Gordon Lightfoot, John Prine, and Jim Croce. I have a three-way tie from the 70s because that's the music I grew up listening to thanks to my aunts and uncles. So I got exposed to this music. They're a little before my time, but kind of not, because I grew up hearing them. And I love all of them. I love their songwriting abilities. Brian. Okay, so Brian says, I'm not even supposed to be here. You know what that's from, Conrad? Clerks. The movie Clerks, he shows up. Dante is his name. Everything goes wrong, and he wasn't even supposed to work that day. Great poll, Brian. Thank you. Troy from Madison says, it was High Karate, not High Five.
Oh, that's the cologne?
You know what, Troy? I don't like your attitude. That was a cologne, High Karate. And I had friends when I was at DePaul that would throw these disco parties. One guy had like a case of High Karate, and every party he would break it out and he would douse people with High Karate and they'd smell like this awful cologne for weeks. But there was a High Five, Troy. You know what? Maybe it was hairspray. I don't know. I remember the bottle though. It's two guys going up for a high five and they were just having a great time. On the side of a bottle. So that's good stuff. But keep them coming. Let us know who your favorite musical solo artist is. What did we get to? We had so much to cover here. God.
You know, I wanted to ask you, though.
Please.
Do I give off serious bro energy?
That's what I wanted. I wanted to ask you that because you don't have to raise your hand. You could just say it, Conrad. What is the deal? Well, I don't think you do. But why do you ask?
Well, okay, I was at Dick's Sporting Goods today, and the worker comes up to me. I was in the shoe section. He goes, "What's up, bro?" That's his first. That's his first thing that he said to me. And I go, "What?" I was like, "No, I'm good. I don't need any help."
But it's just how guys your age talk, though, right?
When I was working at Champs, I never went up to someone and said that. Like, I'd always
be
like,
"Probably why you're not working at Champs anymore."
I didn't get fired.
Where did that happen?
That was a Dick's Sporting Goods.
Watch your language. All right, we're coming right back, folks. Mike Clemens will join us to make the popcorn pick of the week. Anxious to see what Mike says. I'm going to wash Conrad's mouth out with soap because there's no place for that kind of filth on Nightlight. We're coming right back on the Civic Media Radio Network. You do the things you do. You can see it in my
eyes. I can feel it in your touch. This is News from the Center, WRCE.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
For WRCE 107.7, I'm Joanne Krulotz. Republicans in Wisconsin's 3rd Congressional District have chosen their new party leaders. Hannah Teston, the former vice chair, will now become the chair of 3rd Congressional District Republicans. Ryan Hipsch, who has run for assembly in the last two elections, was elected as vice chair. Former chair Bill Feehan was selected as the first vice chair of the state's Republican Party. The field for Democratic Party of Wisconsin chair grew by one as candidates emerged to replace Ben Wickler, who announced last week that he is not seeking re-election. William Garcia, who is the current Democratic Party chair for La Crosse County and the 3rd Congressional District in Wisconsin, announced his bid for the top spot on Monday. Garcia joins a field that includes former Democratic Party of Wisconsin Executive Director Devin Remicker. Wisconsin Democrats are seeking to get big money out of campaigns with a statewide referendum. Lawmakers in the State Assembly and State Senate are reintroducing a resolution that would effectively overturn the U.S. Supreme Court's Citizens United decision by amending the state constitution. The decision allowed corporations to be treated like people in campaigns, increasing the amount of money they could contribute to their preferred candidates. If the bill makes it through the legislature, it would appear on the November 2026 ballot. A bipartisan bill proposed in the Wisconsin State Legislature would provide farmers who use beneficial grazing practices with grant funding. The State Senate Agriculture Committee held a hearing on the bill earlier this month, and if passed into law, it would establish a pilot program to offer technical support and grants of up to $40,000 for farmers using managed grazing systems. The grazing practice moves cattle through smaller pastures in different areas, improving soil health and water quality, as well as decreasing soil erosion. I'm Joanne Krulotz.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. Taylor Sheridan and Paramount Plus are proving to be a match made in ratings heaven. Sheridan's 1923 season 2 finale brought in over 14 million viewers, the most ever for the series, as people tuned in to finally see World War I hero and lion hunter Spencer Dutton come to the defense of his family's land. As a result, the show joined Landman and Tulsa King as the top three shows on Paramount Plus. The season 2 finale of 1923 also got 163 million views on social media. It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia will return for its 17th season in July. In a related story, It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia has been on for 17 seasons. In the new season, the Patty's Pub gang struggles as they are about to see their beloved bar devoured by corporate America. Admittedly, I completely forgot it was still on the air, but it is currently the longest running live action series. The new season starts July 9th on FX with shows screening on Hulu the next day. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Scattered storms this evening, some could be strong, still a shower or two overnight, and a low in the low 50s. Scattered storms still a possibility tomorrow, high around 70. Mostly dry and pleasant for the weekend, with highs in the 50s. Right now it's 61.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel.
Ross calling in.
Thanks for your show. I'm just wondering if we're watching or witnessing a legal system that where what we thought was precedent is now going to be sort of cast away.
The reality is the question that you raise about the future and what are the implications when in fact the things we understood always to be bedrocks of our community, of our nation, are no longer that.
Amicus, a law review, Saturday mornings from 9 to 11. The Todd Albaugh Show.
More than 600 international students and recent grads have had their visas revoked. Here's people that are here 100% legally. We've seen the ICE checklist. Do you wear a Chicago Bulls hoodie? Do you have a tattoo? Check, check, gone. Again, this is about due process and following the Constitution. And if we don't have that, then none of us are safe.
The Todd Albaugh Show. Moving soon to its new time. Weekdays 2 to 4 on Civic Media and on the app. Maggie Dawn.
At 2:30, we're going to play a little Which Whopper's Worst? And I'm not talking about burgers. Which lie of the week is the worst lie? Tune in.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons from 2 till 4. It's time for the Nightlight Popcorn Pick of the Week, where we recommend a movie that you'll either enjoy or won't. Here's your host, Pete Schwabba.
Welcome back to Nightlight, ladies and gentlemen. I am Pete Schwabba, and this is a Thursday, which means we make our Popcorn Pick of the Week. And someone different joins us every week, typically a movie buff or someone who appreciates movies. And we have a great guest joining us tonight here to make the popcorn pick. You know him as a sports authority, as do I, and he works here at Civic Media, and he is outstanding. And his name is Mike Clemens, and he joins us now over the phone to make said pick. Mike, how are you?
Hi, Pete. So could you define what the popcorn movie pick of the week is? What kind of movie it is?
It's any movie you love, and it can be from your childhood. It can be something you saw last week or just something you keep going back to. When we swapped emails earlier, you kind of defined the genre, but really it's genre free, whatever you want to do.
Okay. Because I've heard other guests, like, you know, one of the guys from Madison picked Speed Racer or something. Right?
How about that? Yeah.
And some other ones. So to me, I just thought the image of that, though, is like, you know, something, though, that's a little suspenseful.
Yeah.
Or action or whatever. So I think I've got one here for you.
All right. Don't give it yet, Mike. We're gonna talk a little bit about snacks, and then we'll ask you for your pick. Does that work for you?
All right.
All right. Fantastic. I want to know, you're so consumed by sports, Mike, but I also know you love movies. You love documentaries. How do you like to watch a movie? Do you like to go into the theater? Do you like to watch it at home? What's your approach?
Loud volume, phone off the hook.
Nice.
Total, step into the picture.
Yeah. Oh, that's
so
fantastic.
I was in some high school plays. I'm so busy 7 days a week doing broadcasting stuff. I've never given myself an out to the side where I'm going to go out for the Civic Theater play and see him get a part and be available 4 or 5 nights a week for 6 or 7 weeks and get a part in a play and memorize 100 lines. I want to do that someday. I've been putting it off for years because I think I could be, you know, pretty good at it.
Yeah.
So whatever, I live vicariously through that. Who's the guy who played Gandhi? Ben
Kingsley.
I had Ben Kingsley on a telephone interview.
What?
Yeah. And he was in a movie called Sexy Beast. Do you remember that one?
Oh, sure. Yeah, great movie.
It got like some Oscar nominations.
Yeah.
I think he may have picked up an Oscar for it. So I talked about this one scene, and I said, man, there's this great scene. I backed it up 2 or 3 times where they're this. And Ben Kingsley stops and he says, do you direct? I go, what? Do you direct? Yeah, I've directed a couple of TV commercials here and there, and I think I wanted to get into film, you know, when I was a kid. But you're absolutely right. And then he explained the scene and what the purpose was. I'm like, oh, yeah. So I'd like to think I got a pretty good eye for that stuff. So that's the way I like to watch movies, man. I'm all in, all in.
I'm with you, Mike. I like when you immerse yourself and to me, it helps when there are no huge stars, but really solid actors. I don't mind big movie stars that are great. You can still kind of lose yourself in it. But to me, it's like when you forget you're watching a movie almost is the way to go. And typically now I get that more with film festival movies because the crowds are so quiet and they're also into it. But
you've got the whole experience. I mean, with Godfather in Green Bay and acting and producing and directing, by the way, and it's been like 20 years since that came out, right?
I think it came out in 07 to Blockbuster Video, if you can believe that.
Did you have a scene in a bar or something where they're doing the Pacarena? You remember that song from 97?
The Macarena, yeah, of course.
Yeah, Pacarena.
We had Tony Goldwyn doing it. Well, I know what group put it out.
I did.
Wait, what? Oh, you wrote the Pacarena?
Yeah.
What? So is that just like Macarena, but with Pacarena?
Exactly.
Oh my God.
It's 96. The Packers are on their way, it looks like, to a Super Bowl. And our boss came down the hallway. He'd been to work at WLS in Chicago. And he said, this reminds me when I was in Chicago and the Bears did the Super Bowl shuffle. And the Macarena is a popular song. And there's even people now dancing to the Macarena and calling it the Pacarena. and there's news clips of it. You're not leaving here today until you put together a song.
Oh my God, I love
like,
that.
You know, like we got a tea time, man. So Jane Madnair, who's now on our civic media, said she had to go, like let her dog out, whatever. So me and Dan Weber, and I said, wait a minute, I got an idea. I grabbed a flip chart from the Packers, and I just started throwing in names of players, like, you know, Chimura and all these Brooks and all this. And I said, so then it wrote itself, and I just started rambling all these names in the, hey, Packerada. Then we got to the second verse, so we had two verses down. We took that back to the boss, still made our tea time. And he goes, all right, this is good. This is more like. Then he took us down to the studio in Chicago. Jane's a good singer, so she did the lead on it. And he had a great production guy with keyboards and all that. And we did this takeoff of the Macarena. We sold like 10,000 singles, remember, single cassettes?
Yeah.
In the parking lot at County Stadium and gave all the money to, you know, to a food pantry for that. Yeah.
That is so okay. Now, the next question, Mike, where can we get a copy of that?
I've still got a box of them in my basement somewhere.
Oh my God.
There's a whole thing on the internet about it. So some people, after I left that station, have, you know, made a little shrine and a website for it and things like that. But it's on YouTube. You can still hear that thing on YouTube.
Yeah, look
Packerena.
At that. 1996.
Dan and Jane, Packerena.
My God, that's great. All right, Conrad, we got to pull that. I absolutely love this. So let me ask you this, Mike. Did you have to do any licensing issues? Because when we used it in my movie, it was going to cost an arm and a leg. I had to find a composer, and he did such a good job. Most people don't know it's not the actual Macarena. But did you guys run into any of that with Packerena? I'm sure they weren't going to come after you.
We had a spineless president of the radio company in Dallas who at first said, wow, this is great, because the phones were lighting up. I mean, it was taking off. It was like Rick Dees and Disco Duck, man. It was a huge... Now, and the Packers are getting better and winning every week, and this thing is starting to snowball. And then he put the kibosh on it. He said, I don't want to spend the money to ask the guys that did the Macarena if we can have permission, even though we could do this all for charity. And we're just going to, you know, just play it on the air. We can sell these, you know, singles that you're doing, you know, for a minimum fee. And as soon as the season's over, we're going to deep six it, because I don't want to get in any licensing fees or rights and all that. It's like this thing could have gone national.
Yeah, kidding.
The corporation didn't have the spine to do it. So
gutless. That's awful. Yeah. Mike Clemens is here. He is here to make the popcorn pick of the week, folks. It's great to have Mike. He is our civic media sports authority and a songwriter, as we just found out. So Mike, all right. So the Packers won. So this came out in 1996, and I remember when the Packers were in the Super Bowl, I think because I was in a hotel room by myself in New York City watching the game, but maybe that was the one they lost. They won in 97, right? Or was it 96?
No, the next year they went to the Super Bowl, but they lost to John Elway and the Broncos out in San Diego.
Okay.
Oh, let me finish the chapter on Packerena.
Yeah, please.
So the Packers win the Super Bowl, right? And that summer, I was sitting at a family block party, and a longtime friend from church and neighbor and all that, she was saying, oh, yeah, no, our nephew, he's going up in the next shuttle. And I go, what? I turned my lawn chair around, like, who's your nephew? Tell me about this. His name was Mark Lee, an astronaut from Wisconsin.
Oh, wow.
And he was on a mission with all guys that were going to go up and fix the Hubble telescope.
What?
And so after I got to cover the Packers beating the Patriots in the Superdome for the Super Bowl and Favre and those guys, a month later, I've got a media pass, and I'm down by the countdown clock, as close as you can get, watching this space shuttle take off from Cape Kennedy, right? And about 4 or 5 days later, somebody comes down the hallway, hey, did you hear that today was the day to wake up Mark Lee, because the astronauts would take turn? So, like, if you're from New Jersey or you're from California, you know, they'll play different songs or whatever. You know what song they played for Mark?
Packerena.
The Packerena. That was a good year for me.
Yeah, you were doing okay, buddy. Listen, Mike, our question tonight was, who is your favorite musical solo artist? So I could technically change my answer to Mike Clemens or Jane Madnair.
No. My personal favorite?
I'm happy to help. Yeah, who's yours?
James Taylor pretty much taught me how to play the guitar.
I didn't know you played the guitar.
Yeah.
All right, we'll have to Mike, one of these days when you come into the studio again, I'll bring my guitar because I'm bad. I'll make you look good. We'll play the guitar together. I think that could be some great radio.
No problem.
Conrad's rolling his eyes. that was an unexpected story. So thank you for that. And no other musical parodies, though, in your past, though, huh?
No. Well, yeah, there's been some along the way.
Okay.
But that one just went crazy. You know why? Timing is everything.
Yeah.
Right?
But it's such a no-brainer. Pac Arena. Like, I bet everybody in the world was like, why didn't I think of that? And you were the guy that did. That's so cool.
If my boss, though, Brian Kelly, had not said, you guys aren't leaving until you've got a first draft on this thing today, because we were more interested in our tea time after the morning show.
Oh, my God. That's so great. All right, Mike. So what is your favorite, bringing it back to movies, what's your favorite movie snack?
Oh, popcorn. Butter popcorn. Okay. Salt. Absolutely.
Does it change when you're at home, or do you do something more elaborate, or you still like popcorn when you watch something?
Cheese and nachos are okay.
Yeah.
You know?
Okay. That's fantastic. And what about, and do you prefer to watch a movie in the theater, Mike, or at home when you, like, if you're with your wife or something, you can stop and start? What's your game plan there?
I haven't had time to go to the theaters. I used to go to the movies once a week.
Yeah.
Through my 20s, 30s, 40s. But no, I'd like to get back into seeing stuff in the theater. I just, right now, I don't seem to have an off season, you know?
Right.
You know, so that's kind of hard for that. So, and then in the meantime, obviously, since screens are up to 55, 65 inches, it's not a bad, and so many good shows now, the artists, the best writing seems to be for, you know, immediate streaming stuff. I mean, there,
TV,
you can win an Oscar with something that's streamed, right?
Yeah. I think you have to put it in the theaters at least for a week for it to be eligible, if I'm not mistaken. But I have to look that up. You have such great, like, you live in Milwaukee. You've got the Oriental Theater, the Downer. You've got these great historic.
I live 2 blocks from the Downer for 11 years.
Oh, my
years.
Gosh.
Yeah.
I've never been in there, but I've been in the Oriental, and it's one of the most beautiful theaters I've ever seen. So that,
sure
to me,
is.
I'd go see a mediocre movie in the Oriental before I'd watch a great one at home.
Right. Or the Rocky Horror Picture Show on a Saturday night where they're throwing toast and all that kind of thing.
Have you ever seen? I've never gone. I've never seen that. Is that something?
No, that was a thing back in the day. Now they're doing it for that. What's that video game?
Minecraft.
Yeah, Minecraft. They're doing it now for that. So.
I mean, I've shushed people in theaters before, but I feel like if I saw kids doing what everybody says they're doing, I'd have to excuse myself from the situation or I'd do something I'd regret because it's just so ridiculous, you know?
Yeah.
Awful. All right. Mike Clemens is here to make the popcorn pick of the week, so I think it's time we get to that pick. Conrad, if you please. Civic Media Sports Authority, Mike Clemens, making the Nightlight
Stars
Popcorn Pick of the Week.
Matt Damon.
Okay.
And his buddy Casey Affleck, who is a co-writer, called The Instigators from 2024.
Oh, wow. We've talked about that movie on this show. Remember that,
Have
Conrad?
You?
Yeah, sure.
I've got a family member who called us about 2 years ago and said, hey, you know, this new place I moved in, a beautiful brownstone area, a beautiful section of Boston, I came out from work. There's these flyers all over. They're going to shut down my street. Why? Because they're shooting some scenes for a movie. And so she got up to go to work the next morning, and there's Matt Damon and Casey out there in the middle of the street, and they've got two or three cars, and they've blocked off her whole area, and they're doing a chase scene.
Oh, that's
so we
funny.
Made note of that, and then a year later when the thing was released, I think it was in the theaters for a little bit, but it was like on Apple TV, we got the popcorn out and sat and... It's a fun movie.
Yeah, it is.
It's action. There's some thriller to it. It's got a little bit of that, you know, dark comedy like The Sopranos had, you know, fun moments, even though people are getting killed and beat up. It's not too graphic in terms of the violence. You know,
right.
I started watching Ozark with Bateman a few years ago.
Yeah.
And, you know, I thought, oh, man, I pumped the brakes. This is too much. So I gave it a break. And then, like, the second season, everybody was at work was talking about, so I saw the first one. And 30 seconds into the new season, was about a truck driver who gets pulled over. He gets out. A dude starts beating him up and then cuts his arm off with a chainsaw. I'm like, okay, right. I'm done.
Mike Clemens is here, folks. We're coming right back. And we'll actually talk some sports, but let's continue this this talk, too, after the break. This is Pete Schwabba and Nightlight. Mike Clemens is here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
An elegant, intimate experience in fine dining is right here at Ho-Chunk Gaming, Wisconsin Dells. The Copper Oak Steakhouse and Lounge features choice cuts of Angus beef and fresh seafood prepared to perfection over an open flame grill, complemented by an extensive selection of fine wines and signature martinis. A passion for detail in exceptional dining. The Copper Oak Steakhouse and Lounge at Ho-Chunk Gaming, Wisconsin Dells. Open Thursday through Sunday. Call and make your reservations today.
Are you ever questioning when life will slow down? Are you ever thinking of just relaxing and enjoying the simple things? All of this is possible, even while still being in the workforce. Worthington, Minnesota is a town growing, yet it's nothing like metro life. Professional and labor jobs, a beautiful lake, bike trails, recreation, acres of public hunting, festivals, and great people. Slow down. We're just a short drive away. So come join us. Worthington, it's worth a look.
It's the Eco Minute, powered by Clean Wisconsin, your environmental voice since 1970. I'm Amy Berrio. Could coal make a comeback in Wisconsin? Pollution and high costs have pushed utilities to start shutting down coal plants across the state. But the Trump administration has announced emergency orders to boost coal, including offering power plants a 2-year exemption from requirements to reduce emissions of toxic chemicals like mercury, arsenic, and benzene. April 22nd marks the 55th anniversary of Earth Day. Back in 1970, Wisconsin Senator Gaylord Nelson called for an environmental day of action that inspired 20 million Americans to take to the streets and demand protections from environmental contamination. Less than 8 months later, Congress created the EPA. Knowledge is power. For a deep dive into environmental issues in Wisconsin, check out my Defender podcast at cleanwisconsin.org or wherever you get your podcasts.
News from the Center, WRCE.
Right. When we score, I do the Pacarena. Packer fans do it from Janesville to Nina. We all want more. Another pack score in 96 is Reggie White we vote for.
That, ladies and gentlemen, is singer-songwriter Mike Clemens. And was that Jane, Mike?
Yeah, that was like a follow-up or something like that. That wasn't the original one, but yeah. Okay. I mean, and you know that you're doing good when people are copying your stuff too. Right? I've got a little display, and again, if I can find myself 2 or 3 days, I'm going to go to the Packer Hall of Fame and say, hey, you should put this as part of the display in the Hall of Fame Museum.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Because there's a whole story to it.
I love it. That's so fun. So, all right. So you didn't like Ozark, but you like The Instigators because I like that too, Mike. Like one of my favorite movies of all time is Midnight Run, and there are a ton of gunshots in it, but there's nothing graphic. Like you don't see a guy's guts spilling out, you know? It's just a matter of taste. And I do remember that about The Instigators too. It's just kind of more of a fun kind of tone to it. So that's
if I'm not mistaken, the guy that directed it also directed Bourne Identity with
Doug Liman?
Doug Liman.
You're right about that.
So, Matt plays this like, I think a former Marine or something.
Yeah.
But he's got like some money problems, and you know he kind of gets influenced by some crooked guys, and then there's an opportunity there, and then it turns out the mayor of Boston is like running for your election. He's got a bunch of cash, and they find out about it. So they pull off this incredible Ocean's 11 kind of heist.
Yeah.
And part of it, though, is like, that could actually happen. And then part of it gets a little bit crazy, but it's got kind of like that Ocean's 11 feel to it. Like, this is dangerous. There's some thugs out there, but at the same time, this is kind of fun.
Right.
It's got all kinds of different paths to it. And, yeah, it's entertaining, action, stuff gets blowed up. People are driving like crazy in the streets of Boston. In front of our relative's house in Boston.
That's so fun.
Yeah,
it's a good caper film.
It's a good movie.
Yeah, I agree. Great pick. Thank you, Mike, for that. But all right. So let's turn to sports. And you probably know more about movies than I do about sports, but although I follow some, and it's always good to have you here to clarify things. Let's talk about the Bucks, Mike, because these play-in games are almost over. The Bucks are, Conrad said, I think a sixth seed. So what do you like? What do you like their chances? And what is Damian Lillard? Is he coming back?
Yeah, the Bucks locked in the five seed. They won 8 games in a row. Of course, half those teams are not going to be in the postseason. But, you know, with Damian Lillard out with the blood clot back in, like, March 18th or so, they have found other ways to win. One of the things that they did was, instead of Giannis being in his usual role, which is, you know, based around being in the paint under the rim, they put him more of a point guard, which I think made the Bucks a little bit less predictable.
Yeah.
And helped them in some of those games. And Kevin Porter Jr.'s come on with 20 points or more a game and help it out. So they have found ways to fill in without Lillard. Today they announced that Damian Lillard has now cleared the blood clot in 3.5 weeks. Like the doctors have even said, told the Bucks, this is amazing. We had early detection. There was pain there. He got out of the blood thinner, diet, did everything right. But, when this happened back in March, it was like he could be out for 6 months. That would just be to be safe. Because, you know, it's a blood clot, man.
Yeah.
If the thing releases and goes to the, you know, the chest or the heart, or it could be fatal. Anyway, they say he's completed the blood thinning medication program. He can, you know, now the question is, and everyone's some folks in the media are like, oh, that means he'll probably be ready for this series. Not necessarily.
Hmm.
He's got to get into basketball shape.
Right.
Who knows? Maybe he could be there by game 4 of this series. Game 1 is Saturday at noon in Indianapolis against the Pacers.
That's remarkable, though. You're right. Like, because that's what I thought, too. I don't know much about blood thinners and blood clotting and all that, but I know it's typically a much longer process. So if he could return for this series, that's pretty outstanding.
Yeah.
And then the Brewers are, a game back from the Cubs now. The Cubs seem to have slowed their roll a little bit. What do you like about the Brewers, Mike, so far?
Well, we were at the ballpark Monday night where the Tigers come to town. The Tigers have got some pretty good batters, and they just drilled them 9-1. And it was a second appearance. They're bringing in these guys up from the minors or from other teams that are meant to be relief pitchers or Nashville pitchers. Tyler Alexander, he had a good game the week before, but he just got drilled early in that game Monday. But Jose Quintana and Chad Patrick, two of these guys that they've picked up while they're waiting for Brandon Woodruff and others, Tyler Myers, Tobias Myers to come back. They pitched great back-to-back games. So they ended up winning that series 2-1 against Detroit. They got today off, tonight off. They're going to host the A's, which is a horrible team, over the weekend. But, somehow Pat Murphy's able to move these things around until they can get some of those pitchers back. They've got 7 or 8 pitchers out of 13 on the injured reserve. As they start coming back, man, in May, then they can, find their legs.
Did I tell you I have an uncle named Pat Murphy?
No, but I tell you, I'm getting to know Pat Murphy even more. I brought up a little story. I saw that he, about 10, 15 years ago, when he was still in Tucson and, the ASU baseball coach, there was a little deli that he loved going to, and they did a little TV story on it. It was in a storefront. He let me talk in his office before the game the other day for 20 minutes just about how much fun he had at that place.
Oh, that's so cool.
Get away from campus, get away from the bosses. Pat Murphy is outstanding, and that's why they're winning.
He is fun. I agree. Hey, Mike, can we keep you through the news for some draft talk and then before we let you go?
Sure.
You got that kind of time tonight? All right, fantastic. We're going to talk a little bit about the draft, as you know, that is right around the corner here in Green Bay, coming up next week. So Mike Clemens is here. We're talking to Mike. He made the popcorn pick of the week, and he'll be here when we come back. And then Amanda Nimmer at 7:20, folks. Great to have you with me on this Thursday night on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is News from the Center, WRCE.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, tariffs and Wisconsin businesses. How is that working out? We talk to James Vanderloo. Don't miss it.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10. Reviewing the week's legal news with a friend of the court.
Well, I'm looking forward to Saturday morning. I haven't missed one. Outstanding, just like being in school.
It has been a week in the areas of law and government and the aspiration for justice in America. As always, I am delighted. I am honored that you have chosen to spend some of your weekend time with me in discussion.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel. Saturday mornings from 9 to 11. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us. This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packard. Two people are dead, six others hurt after a gunman opened fire on the campus of Florida State University today. ABC News correspondent Faith Abube is in Tallahassee.
Investigators say the suspect ignored repeated commands to drop his weapon, forcing them to shoot him. He's now in custody in the hospital, being treated for non-life-threatening injuries. He has refused to speak with investigators as they try to uncover what allegedly led him to this deadly rampage. This campus is closed, and the victims are painfully waiting for some answers.
The 20-year-old suspect's mother herself, a law enforcement officer. The Supreme Court will hear arguments next month over injunctions on President Trump's bid to end birthright citizenship. Three people injured when an American citizen hijacked a small plane in Belize. Police suspect the suspect was fatally shot by a passenger with a licensed gun on the plane. Multiple sources telling ABC News there's been mass firings at the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau today. This is ABC News.